Hey there, fellow travel lovers, and welcome to Wanderlust at 35 Plus, the podcast that explores travel during our peak season of life. I'm your host, Stephanie Ritz, an entrepreneur and full-time traveler, and I'll be your guide on this incredible adventure. If you're at a point in life where you're craving more excitement, exploration, and unforgettable moments, you're in the right place, my friend. This is your ticket to discovering the world and redefining what it means to live life to the fullest. In each episode, I'll share practical tips for making travel a lifestyle and take you behind the scenes of travel life as I share the ups and downs of life abroad. So whether you're a seasoned traveler looking for fresh inspo or just starting to dream of making travel a lifestyle, Wanderlust at 35 Plus is your compass to a life well-traveled and filled with adventure, and maybe even a little shenanigans. Let's go. Hey, hey, travel friend. I've got a savory episode for you today, and I'm sharing one of the challenges I face as a full-time traveler, and it's the food. If fat, calories, and sugar didn't impact weight and health, I'd be eating nonstop. I love food. I've tried to shift my mindset to food being a way to nourish my body, but it's a fruitless effort. I love the whole experience of eating, the smell, the texture, the anticipation of that first bite, and the pleasure it brings to eat something exceptional. With food being such an important part of the cultural experience of traveling, I don't shy away. I'm an adventurous eater. I'll try almost anything once. This is also why I love food tours, because as much as I love food, I wouldn't consider myself a true foodie. I don't know a lot about food. I grew up on chicken nuggets, Elio's pizza, the handful of rotating dishes my mom used to make us, and the basics of Philly. Cheesesteaks, soft pretzels, which we bought from the guys standing on the highway, greasy Chinese food from the corner store, and water ice for dessert. I also grew up in the Weight Watchers era. Literally every mom was on Weight Watchers, and therefore it felt normal to eat Snackwell cookies and Wow potato chips filled with Olestra. I started counting points when I was in sixth grade. And despite my mother and maternal grandmother constantly telling me how beautiful I was, I associated being thin with beautiful, and I was never that kind of thin. And so eating dynamics and having a healthy mindset around food and self-image has always been a struggle. So with limited knowledge of food and coming up in a culture of dieting, I knew international travel was going to be epic for the food and challenging for me both mentally and physically. I'm always conscious of what I'm consuming, even if I'm in a screw it mindset. 3 years in, I'm happy to say I've got a pretty good balance down for enjoying the local food and maintaining a healthy lifestyle. And those are the insider tips I want to share with you today. And I'm just going to say this, unless you have health restrictions, if you're someone who only goes on limited vacations throughout the year, screw the diet. Eat and drink everything. You can realign your regular eating habits when you get home. 1 week isn't going to be a deal breaker. To me, you have to experience a local food in order to truly embody the location you're visiting. And regardless of what kind of travel you're doing, whether it's for adventure, relaxation, a specific experience, having the opportunity to try new foods will enrich your travel. If you're going to be traveling for an extended time or full-time like me, there are a few things that have helped me to not feel deprived and not feel guilty. The guilt is my own mindset from years of conditioning to be on a diet, so please don't take that on as an assumed feeling if you do eat all the things. But I also want to normalize that for those of us in this age group, that is a very present mindset for many of us. So one of my first strategies for indulging in the local foods goes back to why I love food tours. You generally get smaller portions of local foods you wouldn't know to try. You learn where to go to get good local bites, and it limits your overindulgence because you're just getting a taste. and generally you're often walking in between eating. Not to mention, as a solo traveler, you get to enjoy your food with others, which is always a beautiful thing. My second strategy is to eat healthy at my accommodations and go all out when I'm eating out. I spoke about this in episode 7, but I limit how often I'm eating out. Even when I'm staying in hotels and not Airbnbs, I'm generally hitting up a local grocery store to prepare some of my meals. This helps me add some control to what I'm consuming. I don't want to worry about sugar and carbs when I'm eating out. I just want to experiment with new foods and eat what looks appealing as opposed to what's healthy. So that has helped me create some balance. I also talked about in episode 7 that I travel with a blender and will make a protein shake for breakfast if I'm in an Airbnb or lunch if I'm in a hotel, since breakfast is usually included. That not only helps me save money on food so I can spend more on nice dinners, but also again creates a healthy balance. My third strategy is simple and something you'd probably do anyway while traveling, which is moving my body every day. If I'm staying at a hotel, it has to have a gym. I actually love working out in a gym. I find it very challenging to work out in my room or Airbnb. I never used to work out when I was just taking a vacation, but with extended or full-time travel, especially in the 35 plus club, it's a non-negotiable. My body definitely doesn't metabolize foods quite like it used to, so a gym is my go-to and it's part of my weekly routine. Because I have such resistance to home workouts, if I don't have access to a gym, I walk a lot. It's one of my favorite things to do while traveling. You get to stumble into new places, really see and experience the city, and I pop my headphones in and listen to an audiobook and just wander. I try to hit a minimum of 10,000 steps before I get back, but some days it's 12 or 15,000. This is also part of my personal self-care and zen time. I find a lot of self-reflection in these walks, and it's a great opportunity to disconnect from work while traveling as well. Although I do pick up a lot of great content along the way. Walking doesn't give me the full result that I'm looking for from a workout, but the consistency helps me maintain a healthy lifestyle, and I enjoy it, so I'm more likely to do it every day. My fourth strategy is approaching food choices in the same way I approach spending choices. I indulge less on the things that don't matter as much and go all in on the foods I feel most excited about. Pies, pastries, donuts, dessert breads, and New York style cheesecake are always gonna lure me in, and I won't hesitate if I'm eating out. But it's also why I don't ever start with dessert. Feeling a bit more full helps to curb overindulging. And you probably won't see me spend $60 on a steak or lobster because they aren't my most favorite foods, even if they are especially tasty. A good chicken parm or pasta seafood dish in a white wine sauce, that's what I'm going for. Or pretty much pumpkin anything. When I go out to eat, I splurge on the foods I love and save my calories on the things that aren't as appealing. When I was in Paris, I didn't eat out as much. I'm just not a huge fan of French cuisine. Instead, I made lots of stops at bakeries and cafes for a pastry or some cheese and bread. OMG, the cheese and bread in Paris. I don't know what they do to make it so amazing, but it is. These were my indulgences, and the rest of the time in Paris, it was salads and fruit. And lastly, this is a bit of a vulnerable share, but I know some of you may struggle with this too. One of my challenges with airport lounges, staying in hotels, or going into certain restaurants is the buffet, or honestly, everywhere I could get free or unlimited food. I grew up with this motto, if it's free, it's for me. And also, thanks to my paternal grandmother, I still, decades later, have a hard time not finishing every piece of food that's on my plate. We were not allowed to waste anything, and my grandmother made us clean our plate before we could even have a drink. I know, brutal, right? So I really have to practice mindfulness in free or unlimited food situations, especially when I'm alone. There's no one to talk to or break up the eating pattern with conversation. So it could be a consumption free-for-all until I'm ready to fall off my chair. Knowing that I struggle still with wasting food, I try to make just one trip to the buffet line and only put the food on my plate that I will feel good about finishing. I don't always win this battle, but trying to be mindful about it helps the overindulging and subsequent guilt. I'd love to hear from you. Send me a DM over on Instagram. The link is in the show notes. And let me know if you have a tip or strategy for eating right while traveling, or if you're my kind of people who just go all in on full foodie experiences. And until next time, my friend, may your travels be delectable and your pants be stretchy. See you next time. Thanks for listening and being a part of our Wanderlust at 35 Plus travel community. I hope you're feeling inspired and excited to start planning your next adventure. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed our travel chat, a 5-star rating and review goes a long way in helping other travel lovers to find us. My friend, this is the perfect time to write your own travel story. So whether you're a newbie, a seasoned explorer, or a solo traveler, now is the time to fulfill those travel dreams and start making memories. Until next time, remember, life is short, but the world is wide. Let's make every moment count. Safe travels, and I'll see you on the next episode of Wanderlust at 35 Plus.